everyone. Welcome. This is our podcast, Spirit Road. Thank you for joining us today. Tim, how are you? It's good to have you back.
Good. It's good to see you.
You too. And with us today, we have Douglas Pratt. He's joining us for our conversation today. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, thanks. Thanks for asking. It's great to be here.
Great to be here. Good to see you. So we've been talking about a variety of things, and I guess we can just jump right in and kind of continue our conversation. I was sharing a little bit about a book I've been reading. It's an earlier book by Dolores Cannon called Guardians of the, I'm sorry, yeah, Keepers of the Garden. I'm like having a moment here. So, yeah, I was thinking, wait, that's not right. Keepers of the Garden. And it was just her early work with someone who was tapping into their lifetime as an interstellar and working with the interstellars and not really understanding what was going on. The client wasn't understanding necessarily either. And it was still a point in Dolores's evolution that she was baffled because she'd not encountered this before in her work. And I think during this time was in part when she developed the regression work that she then continued, that QHHT. So it's kind of it's an interesting book. I'm sure lots of people have already read it and are aware of it. I just stumbled on it recently and find it fascinating. So we've been talking about hypnosis and using hypnosis as a way of helping people to remember and to kind of connect with their lives and what else has been going on with them. And Douglas, that's your area of expertise. You do right. The inner life journeys.
Interlife spiritual journey.
Thank you. I never can get that correct.
It's okay. I have trouble myself. You know, the reason I just cover this piece for folks that may not be understanding why, the reason hypnosis is used is to help us get into that altered state. And you think, why an altered state? In our waking state, we have filters our mind and ego put in place that make it hard for us to pick up things that are not within the within the physical world. So when you go ahead and use hypnosis to move you into that altered state, those filters, they don't disappear, but they drop down significantly, which then gives you access to all different kinds of information about yourself and your larger experience as a being, as a soul, your higher self. All those are accessible once you go ahead and drop those filters down. And kids don't, it's kind of interesting. Kids don't, they don't need to move into an altered state. I mean, a big process. We have to do a whole guided imagery that lasts 20 minutes with kids. They are still so, what's the word I want? They can cross over so easily. It's just how they're put. So it's kind of interesting. They're a different space. Not that I don't, I mean, I know that kids can do it because you can see them do it, but I isn't some, a group that I treat, obviously, because they're not old enough. But with adults, we need that 20 minutes of guide. And I use guided imagery for my hypnosis technique. I like it because it's pretty self-explanatory. People can see how it works. And also, you can then use it on your own if you so choose to, which I think is a really actually a very important piece of in terms of your own spiritual awakening. Because if you can begin to use that for yourself, you can begin to access information on your own.
So doing a little bit of reading about this, and I just read about the kids the other day, like recognizing, I think it's around 7 or 8, maybe, that we start to develop critical thinking, or, you know, like where we start to not take everything as face value and we start to infer meaning from things or understand that sometimes someone is not being literal, things like that. And it's interesting to think about that kids not really having developed that yet, that things probably are more
metaphorical.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah. I find myself wondering, like, so if someone goes into a hypnotic state or whatever, where this critical mind is getting out of the way, and they're maybe more connected to the unconscious, more spacious mind, higher, maybe the higher self is in there as well. Would you say that people in that state are more receptive to like messaging from the outside, or and I'll
They
get
can be.
yeah.
I mean, yes, it depends on how much their critical mind can back off. And we all struggle with that because we're in a culture that believes that we are our mind is who we are. So you have to give up that belief. It's an illusion. Our mind is part of us, but not all of us. So the more somebody is able to accept that, the more able they're able to be open to getting information while they're in an altered state. In other words, their mind can step back better, easier, more fully.
I probably wouldn't do the story too much justice, but I remember reading Brian Weiss's Many Lives, Many Masters, him telling the story of being a very, what would you say, traditional regression therapist who happened to ask an open-ended question of someone. It's like, can you go back to the point in time where this problem began for you? And they spontaneously regressed into a previous life. And at the time, if I remember right, he talks about how he didn't really know what was happening, but as long as there was a therapeutic value, as long as they were getting something from it, he's like, well, let's just go with this and see where it takes us. And but kind of recognizing that that was happening more and more over time, and then also him having the experience of regressing someone, and instead of regressing into a previous life, they regressed into this interlife place. And in that space, the client started giving him messages that weren't for the client, they were for him from I think from his deceased mother or something like, but this messaging started coming through that wasn't, it was information that his client would not have had access to. And I just remember how interesting that was. One, like what, what's the mechanism for that happening? And then two, also his journey with deciding what to do with that, like having a profound experience and recognizing that being vocal about it and sharing it in the community was potentially going to open him up for a lot of ridicule. It might even ruin his career in a sense. And that was a journey for him to get to a point where he was speaking about it publicly.
Right. Yeah, I don't know the ramifications he had. He was the head of a psychiatry department at a hospital at that time. And that was the book that got me working and started getting me structured way of helping people move into an altered state. As I took the trainings, took hypnotherapy training, and I then took trainings for doing past life regressions. Because I was hoping that these, like they did for Brian Weiss, would be useful for my clients. Because I was working with a lot of clients that had a lot of childhood abuse, and I was looking for better and more comprehensive tools that would help them over the long haul, over, and that was really that was always my goal. So that's what got me into having a skill with guided imagery, and helping people move into an altered state. And it was through that past life regression therapy training.
Do you remember your first experience with someone being in an inner life kind of space?
I think that an actual inner life space, a space where they were truly in the non-physical, I think it happened. When I did, I went on and took a training called Life Between Lives. It was developed by Michael Newton, where he specifically took people into that space you're talking about, that non-physical space. And the person that I my we were trading back and forth, being a subject and being the therapist, and the person who was it happened with her. She was able to move into that space. I don't remember the content of it, but I remember it happened. And it was, for me, it was great because, like, okay, this works. And I have a sense about how it might move forward. And it truly was the tip of an iceberg for me because that's what really launched me into looking for better and better ways to really help people heal. And because initially at the time I took training for past life work, they didn't talk about the inner life. They just talked about past life and their attempts to create closure and give meaning to the life. And in all honesty, it was only until I took the Life Between Lives training, where there were places that you went in that space, that I added into my past life work. Because they have, when Michael Newton had discovered that when you're fully in that space, you can go to your soul council. Michael Newton called it the Council of Elders. Well, that's an incredibly powerful group, because that group is the group that meets with your soul and your higher self before you move into the life. So you review what you're going to do, what your mission in that life's going to be, what are going to be some of the markers for it. And then you actually agree on who's going to be in that life, who's going to play different parts. And then when you finish a life, you go back to your soul, your primary, your soul council, and review the life to see how did you do, what were you able to accomplish, what continues to be a challenge, where are you at? And once I was able to do that, I could take people through a past life, which usually are difficult. That's the reason they're still sticking. I could then go to that soul council and let them hear what the purpose of that life really was. Why did you choose to have this life? And then they could talk to that person about how it went and how it didn't go, what went well, what didn't go well. And they do that in a very non-judgmental way. They're just very direct. But in that, it gives a much better sense of closure. And the best part for me is if there's relational complexity from the life, which is typical, something's unresolved, something unpleasant happened, something whatever, we can bring those beings in if they so agree, and they usually do, and help the person from the life sort out and get true completion and closure about the life and with the beings, the people who were in that life with them. So there's a what I like about it is it was able to actually finish up the life and release it. Understand it was a life, it was meant to be lived, there were purposes, and that it was what it was. You learn what you needed to learn, and it's time to let it all go and not hold any anger, guilt, shame, that and fear. Those are the things that typically people hold on to from a life, and it usually has to do with whatever they did or didn't do and what others did or didn't do. And when you bring them all in, they get the meta view. They get the view, oh yeah, you agreed to be a persecutor in that life. You agreed to be unkind to me. That was part of what was agreed upon, but it was and the purpose was such and such. And that I anyway, the bottom, I know I'm going on and on here. The bottom line is it brings resolution. And it's become a very powerful tool when I do a past life piece to my work.
Oh, thank you. Lori, I know you do work with soul council things as well. Would you say, is it possible, like all of these things you're describing about getting clarity as to why you chose to do what you did, is it possible to get that kind of clarity for the life that we're in now? Or is that something that can only happen after?
I think that with the readings I do, with the soul path readings that I do, your council will step forward and give you clarity in the moment of whatever it is you're asking about, whatever issue you're bringing in and asking. They can give you that information. Or a lot of times, where they'll start is your soul chose to incarnate at this exact moment for these reasons. And here are the gifts that you've brought in. Here's the information that your soul has brought with you this lifetime and sort of imprinted within you, like cellular memory, if you will. And so they help to clarify all that for folks. So then they can make some choices as the human being about, do I want to tune in more to that information? Do I want to stay on this path? Do I want to do something else? So they have more to work with and more idea about what did they bring in. A lot of folks are gifted and they sort of feel that nudging but don't understand it or resist it. So in the reading, a lot of times their soul counsel, their guides will step in and say, this is what you brought in and this is why. And this is how you can be working with it. So it gives them the opportunity then to step into that gift. Maybe they channel, maybe they're healers. They bring, they can do Reiki or they can do other types of healing with folks that now they're being really nudged to do that. So I think it can help just clarify in the moment. If you want to go deeper, then Douglas is your guy. So then, you can certainly do more work in terms of a regression where you can look at the bigger picture even and see even more lives perhaps and how it all begins to impact. So I think they could fit together for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm
So
If
curious.
that, go ahead, Tim. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm just so curious for even for the both of you, like having worked in these ways with people and probably getting to hear these different stories about why people have chosen to be in the lives in the ways that they are, like how has that impacted you in your own journeys?
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
What I find, it's always fa it, it's a very important question. What people come in, and in all honesty, I think they're guided to come in at this point. Nobody walks in my door accidentally, so they're guided there. And there's very specific things that they're to understand better, clear up what blocks, fears, and understandings. What I'm aware of is it's inevitable somewhere in that session, there'll be a very important piece, and it'll be like, oh, this isn't just for them. You have that moment of, oh, pay attention, Douglas. This is a piece you're working on right now. So that's the truth of the answer to your question, always, if I pay attention.
Same with channeling. I will be channeling for someone, and I hear my guide sort of whisper, "Are you paying attention?" Because what is being said, the information that's coming through, I need to take that in and listen to it as well. Almost, I would say three quarters of the time, if not more. Every time I sit with someone, there's always a piece of that that resonates for me as well. And my guide is sort of nudging me to pay attention to it in that moment. It's always fascinating. And I never know what to expect. I never really know who's going to show up to talk with the person and what they're going to say or what messages they're going to get. When I first started channeling interstellar beings who would just randomly pop in, I was nervous. It was like, wait, I don't know if this person has any belief about that. So I would try to preface it and sort of prepare them for this being who was going to speak to them. And what I realized was I didn't really need to do that because if they're stepping in, that person is ready to hear what they have to say and has some sense about it that maybe this is a possibility or this is a reality or it validates for them messages they've been getting that they didn't understand. So now just if they step in, they just speak and I just step aside.
I had a session just a couple of days ago, and it was a pretty profound session. And same thing, there were pieces in it where I went, pay attention, this is about you. And we're betting, and it was funny, we're getting ready to wrap up, and she'd gone through a lot of stuff. It was a really important session for her. And she says, there's this ET, he keeps coming forward, and I keep telling him to go away. And I said, well, why don't you invite him in and see what he has to say? And which led to a whole nother chapter. I mean, literally at the very end of the session, because she actually knew, she knew of them, and she knew of, I don't know if she knew that particular being, but She had a whole history of her own ET experiences. And I think she was pushing it away because that's what she does sometimes when she gets uncomfortable. Anyway, so it is in terms of the interstellars and how they pop through, they're popping through more. I mean, that's part of what's changed. 2 years ago, I don't think I even knew that there were interstellars on our spiritual team. I had no idea. Because what they did is they stayed in the background so that they didn't induce fear, get people anxious or uncomfortable. And it's only been in the last 2 years that they have at times presented themselves in the sessions because, and clearly where they are doing that, the people are ready and that they are able to, work with it and understand it and not just move into a place of, fear.
Yeah, I found that as well, that they're popping in more and more with most readings that I do, and that people are more prepared. Early on, sometimes people were a little bit shocked by it, but not that much. And now people are like, oh yeah, I kind of had a sense of that. So I agree. I think they're stepping in more and more, and they're working with us as guides now more consciously with us. Right.
Right.
Yeah, the whole idea of the right people finding us at the right times is interesting to me. Like, even as you're talking about this, I'm remembering you brought in Dolores Cannon in the beginning. I actually had a QHHT session probably about 4 years ago, and I don't remember a lot of it, but occasionally something will come back. And what's coming back to me now is that when I was in that induced state and having these conversations with higher self and things, that I have a memory of starting to have messages for the woman who was doing the regression for me, and I remember that I was just very clear in talking about what my connection to her actually was, and like why we had come together on that day, that there was something that she was supposed to hear as well. And yeah, I delivered that in a very well, did I deliver that? I remember saying it, but it's like the memory of it is very kind of surreal, like just how clear it was to me that we were intended to cross paths, and then to think about what that means. Even what you said, Douglas, this idea between lives that we decide some of the people that will be part of our experience and why we'll cross paths, and maybe even when we'll cross paths and for what reason. And sometimes those reasons are, from a soul perspective, there's not hurting someone, but in the life, it's like, I'm going to do something very hurtful or say something hurtful, and so that you can learn compassion or resilience, or so it will send you off in this direction to cross paths with this person. It feels very orchestrated at points in ways that, quite honestly, are just hard to integrate in the day to day. Yeah, it's
Oh,
like.
it is, because you're talking about a meta level that's way out here, and we live here. So
Right.
it's very challenging for sure.
Yeah.
You're talking about connecting with beings that you have plans and stuff. We have a primary soul group in the non-physical where we learn and train together. And has I think it must, I'm sure it has to do with vibration and what the focus is. It's not a large group. I don't know. I'm going to say 10 to 12. I suppose there's a variance. And people are always really excited to go to the primary soul group. And they have good reason to, because when they go there, they will discover to their delight, their Aunt Minnie and an uncle and grandparent or are a best friend. And that's very, they're very excited for that. I find it the most interesting, however, is the one being that'll be there, they'll go, oh no, they're there. And it'll be that person who's created havoc in their life. It can be, well, sometimes it's a partner, it's more likely to be a boss or a person at work or a friend that's not a friend anymore. And what's so fast, and it's really, because I mean they are really aghast at this person, the being there. And I'll say, well, why don't you come up and talk to them and see what they have to say to you? And that's where that whole meta level happens. Because as I talked to them, I go, oh, we agreed to this, that they would be this boss who was going to drive me incessantly and make me work way too hard because I needed to learn how to say no, that I needed to learn limits. And so that is what it was agreed upon that he would do in this life. And suddenly there's a whole nother aha. And of course, in that, it changes their relationship in the real, in the physical now, because they have a whole different reframe for it.
I was even thinking of that word, like what a wonderful reframe to think about when we're experiencing dissonance or chaos or arguments or relationships ending or whatever, is to like just really have that perspective of what is this teaching me, and is there something in it that I can have gratitude for? May not feel good at
Yes.
the moment, but
It's a
if I
nice way to frame it because I think that is the truth of it. And it's so hard for us to get past our being human to think of it as a learning versus a something with lots of angst. Right.
Well, and what always strikes me is it takes away my ability to fall into victimhood, because it's not something that's being done to me. It's something I agreed to, and it's part of this path that I'm on. So rather than seeing myself as a victim in those moments, it's like you say, stepping back and saying, what's the purpose of this? Why did I choose to have this occur in this exact moment? What's the lesson? As a human being, that's really hard to do, because I'd much rather whine and carry on and say, oh, woe is me, and they're just being mean to me, and I, poor me, I'm the victim here. I don't know that we're ever really victims, quite honestly, in that context of when we have those significant things happening. When you, as you were saying, Douglas, as we look at it from that larger perspective, it was all sort of plotted out and agreed upon, which
Yes.
is gratifying and annoying all at the same time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
going
it took back.
me.
Go ahead, Tim.
Sure. Just going back to the Brian Weiss example, you know, of him like saying, like him really not knowing what happened when someone regressed into a previous life, but asking the question, is this of value to them? You know, is this helping them? And if so, can I work with that? I sometimes think that about when I have trouble really integrating whatever my reality is in the midst of maybe some very surreal or metaphysical kinds of experiences. Just asking that question is like, you know, what is the value here? What can I learn from this? And even if when things don't feel as orchestrated, does it hurt for me to have the idea that they are, in a sense of like, if I can look for meaning in something, it takes me out of that place of victimhood, right? Right. Or if I can ask, what is the lesson in this, or what can I find gratitude in this? Then maybe the mechanisms or the gears turning behind the scenes don't matter as much if I'm getting value from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it took me done a lot of work, and even still, it's only in the last few years that I think I've been able to truly move past a place of being a victim with my own childhood. Because it's always so easy to just slip back into poor me. Ain't it so bad? And forget that in fact what occurred was arranged, that my parents agreed to do what they did because it was part of my path. And it's always interesting to move backwards from the oh poor me and be in my angst and then go, oh, that's right. I really did agree on this, and there is a major purpose, and the point is there's significant purpose in that. And so having to reconnect at the larger level and go, yep, that's the truth of it, and that actually they did an incredible job doing exactly what they agreed to do, and I need to honor that and honor myself for, going through that and having it help take me to the place I am now in my life.
And that's so hard to do as a human being,
Oh,
you know,
yes.
because it's hard to separate and to understand that beyond being a human being, we are these divine beings. And it's hard for the human being to think I would choose that. And I have to try to remind people and myself, as a human being, no, I didn't choose that. And as a soul, I did, for a larger purpose. It's like looking at people around us who are, you know, who are awful people, and you're thinking, geez, they're just, it's hard to see past the humanness to the soul that they are and say, well, they're really playing their role great and they're doing exactly what their soul agreed to do because they're so reprehensible as a human being. But the soul itself, that true essence, is doing exactly what it agreed to do. And it's usually for all of us to shine a mirror, basically hold a mirror up so that we can see those aspects of ourselves and really decide, ooh, is that who I really want to be? But it's hard to separate the two. It's hard to understand from that larger perspective, I think, for folks. It's hard for me to hold on to it because I get caught up in the personality of my own and everybody else's.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
hard to have patience for it too. Like even just reflecting on as a child, I had a fair amount of emotional disconnect just in the town I grew up in and family dynamics and things like that. There were points where I really didn't learn what I would have liked to have learned in terms of social skills and relating and connection and things like that. And at the time, none of that would have made sense. And fast forward, let's say 40 years, finding authentic relating practices and nonviolent communication and all of these things became just a huge passion for me.
Yeah.
And I think in some senses, an offering or a gift that I can give to the world through facilitation and conversation and all of these things. And it feels very meaningful to me and very connective as well. But it really had its roots in that disconnect. Like if that, you know, if I hadn't experienced life in that particular way, I probably would not have found my way to it. And, you know, and you can say the chicken or the egg, you know, as to how that, why that happened, but it feels very meaningful to me. And it also, when I reflect on how long it took, you know, to the lifetime of a soul, what is 40 years, but to a human being living it, it's a long, long time. It's a long journey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, in terms of that, the consciousness clearly is shifting. And I'm thinking specifically, I mean, there's different ways you can mark that. It's not uncommon for my, in my sessions with clients these days for them to say, oh, I really did choose this, didn't I? Whereas, I don't know, a few years ago, that just, that they weren't ready for that. And I certainly didn't hand them that interpretation. But they're telling me, and of course it just opens, it opens things up when you have the understanding that you had a part in it and that you chose it for really important reasons. In other words, they are difficult and they're hard, but there was purpose in that, and understanding there was a larger meaning and purpose. So that's been one of the fun parts for me to have people coming to those understandings within those sessions. Yeah.
And I agree. I think the consciousness is changing and that people are much more aware and energies are shifting. And so I think people are seeking out answers and insights into what's happening. So I agree that it's exciting actually to see this raise in consciousness and people being ready for that information to come through now.
Right.
So what's next?
Oh, that is the million-dollar question. They won't tell me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They just sketch it out at best.
I think there's a lot of talk these days about how Earth and humanity are ascending is the word that's used, that we're moving toward the higher vibrations, the higher frequencies, moving into that fifth dimension, whatever that exactly is. And I believe all of that. Now, how that's happening and how that's unfolding, I'm still not really clear about all the time. But apparently, that is where we're headed. And what that means and how long it actually takes, I don't know. Does it happen all at once? Is it happening now? Some will say, yes, we're ascending now. It's starting to happen more and more. I don't have a sense of that. I accept it, but I'm not sure I necessarily all the time feel it. Other than there are days when they talk about timelines, and there are days where I'm not sure where I am in terms of which timeline and which dimension I'm actually in. It's a very odd experience. And I think people are starting to have those moments as well. And not just older folks like me who could say, oh, I'm just kind of losing it. But I think it's everybody across the board is experiencing these sorts of things.
I have a friend who is highly intuitive, you know, can often be with someone and be able to kind of check in and have a sense of the meaning and things that are going on in their lives and what's happening. And we were just discussing that sensation of having that awareness or that ability or that knowing sentience, whatever you would call it, and then to have the experience of asking that question of like, why is this happening and what's next? And to just get gray, fuzzy, not knowing, and also kind of recognizing that that's meaningful in its own way. You know, this idea of like, well, part of our experience or our reason for being here is the not knowing as well. Like, can I give that meaning? Can I give the unknown meaning and say that this is purposeful as well? Yeah.
Yeah. And I know my mind and ego hate that. They don't like not knowing. They want to know everything so they can make a plan.
Yeah. Well, always, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that that's part, you're hitting on a piece, Tim, that I think is we're being pressed to trust. And our mind and ego, they don't do well with that unless it's right in front of them and they go, yep, this and this. So they really have trouble trusting when it's from the non-physical and the non-physical beings. And yet I think that's what we're being pressed. I think humanity is being pressed to do that more and to understand there are beings, whatever you call them, that are there and have our best interests at heart and are there to help us move us forward and that they have our back. And our mind and ego just, they really struggle with surrendering around that because they mistake surrendering for giving up. And that's not, that is an untruth, but that, you know, mind and ego are pretty concrete, black and white.
I'd love to bookmark that, the surrender. It feels like that's a whole conversation there. Feels really relevant right now. Douglas, before we do wrap up, is there anything you'd like to share as far as if folks were seeking you out or wanted more information on you or your writing or your work with interstellar panels and just anything you'd care to share?
The only thing that I would share is that I did write a book that was basically channeled material from beings on the Galactic Federation ship. And that it's, I think it's a helpful, it gives people, it sketches things out for folks and helps them understand a little better what is in truth going on at that level, at least. And there's, I mean, if you get done and you go through it, I think you end up with more questions than you had before you started, but that's okay. It opens up different ways of seeing things. So I do suggest that that is a can be a good resource for some folks. And that things are moving along. My sense that the interstellars, the Federation are very pleased with how our consciousness is shifting on the planet. And don't ask me how they track that, but they do. And they're pleased with it because it means that time, whenever we have that time of open contact, it comes closer because our consciousness is shifting and we're going to be in a place to be able to receive that, to be accepting of that. And for me, that's really exciting.
What's the name of your book, if folks want to find it?
It's on Amazon. It's called Greetings Earth, a handbook about the Galactic Federation and its history with humanity. A short title.
Yeah, exactly. And if somebody wanted an inner life spiritual journey with you, how would they find you?
They would find me, simplest is just douglaspratt.com. That takes you right to my site, and all the information and contact information is there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Oh, it's been a delight. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
Same here.